a mental picture for you. The emotional tension expressed in an abstract image, not in an imaginative image, but a mnemonic image, is this. It's like a circle that's beginning to arc over and return and come back and close. And when it closes, you will be doomed. It's that kind of attention, of a complete entrapment. There's no way out. That, on the imagination level, in imagination, is what happens. And gives that emotional tone of anxiety, tension, fear, terror. Transformed to memory, the deep self knows that that circle does not close. That circle comes very, very close and never meets. It goes in a spiral. It's not in a circle. And you let that go by. That spiral spirit, that's the true, real vector of consciousness in reality. There is no barrier, including death, that stops it. There's no closing of the circle. This is not recent, late 20th century abstract intelligence. It's the classic wisdom of mankind. The shape of that circle coming around and not closing, and in fact, with the little serifs coming down from it. It's the form of the Greek letter for omega. It's the very form that the end is an indefinite openness. The end is not an end, it's an indefinite openness. That the energeia of life is an opening spiral. In fact, the very form of that is like the nautilus shell of the indefinitely opening spiral. It's worth it to keep in mind, it's worth it to remember, in that in any experience of anxiety, in any experience of fear, in any experience of terror, if one can transform and be there in the grace of one's conscious integrity, the deep self presence, that energy will spiral out and not close, not stop. The emotional feeling of that is the feeling of grace. A classic phrase is grace. I guess in our time it would be just utter relief, astonished relief that that happens. Another image of it is that one can fill up 100% of psychoneural anxiety. It stops there, stops at the pate. But if the Sahasrara chakra is open, you don't have to stop there at all. So you see the symbol, like in the tarot deck, of the infinity sign over the magician and over strength, the woman, the strength. You float as an infinity sign, as a spiritual bird with indefinite flying capacity over yourself. But the whole issue is that you don't have to be driven out of yourself, but you can inhabit yourself. You belong there in yourself, in your life. That is your life. That is yourself. And so the whole process of training consciousness is to be able to understand that that is so and come back and re-inhabit that life, re-inhabit that person. Energize that life and that person in terms of the conscious purposes that you have. That's being the artist of your life, the artist of the person. That life not only belongs to you, but is expressive of your essential uniqueness. And notice now that it isn't a platitude. It doesn't belong on that level at all. It's not New Age good advice. It's a very technical understanding of the truth of the matter. But it takes time to pursue it. And that's why we're taking time. It takes time to pursue it. And we have to walk ourselves through, as it were, this kind of a double circle and see it doesn't close ever, that it opens up. And like in the first year, when we came to the movement, about halfway, we had the transformation between ritual and myth. The way in which what we do flames into language and acquires meaning by that flaming into language. What we actually do comes out in what we say. The language form was essentially expressive. It's not an overlay. It's not an epiphenomenon. It is the essential meaning which comes out. We miss it in the colloquial sense of saying, well, it's easy to talk and hard to do. The actual thing is, it's very hard to talk right. All of the spiritual disciplines always include a training in silence or in correct speaking, catching yourself of not bitching, not moaning, not denigrating others or yourself, not letting language fly away like that, of making it exacting, of making it integral with what you actually do. And just as we saw how difficult it was in quintessential ritual to become aware of what is it that we do do, not just what we hope we're doing or we think we're doing, what do we actually do? And to make that level of bare attention consonant with accurate speaking, that is the hallmark of whatever man has understood as truth. Truth is the consonance of accurate speaking with what you do do. That's what truth is. If the spirit of Pontius Pilate is listening, here it is, man. Take it and run. Just as that transformation between ritual and myth happens, there is a transformation between art and history, which we're approaching, and we'll get to this summer, towards the end of June. And while the art section of this, creative intelligence, is extremely important in and of itself, we have to realize that there's a threshold coming up. And the threshold is to put that person into movement in this time space. And that person can acquire a history which is real. Many histories. All of them more or less real. But one would like to know, what history can I live with? So making the person is one thing, and that's very difficult to do. But to put the person into play in history, in reality, that is very difficult to do. That is extremely difficult to do. That's as difficult as speaking correctly, speaking truthfully. And if there's any problem that modern man has had for the last 500 years that he has not coped with, it's history. He has not coped with history. His ability to make history. As long as history outstripped his capacity to dominate it, he was all right because he could go on givens. But the two or three times in civilization where man has outstripped the givens and has earned the right to make his own history, he has not done it. Arnold Toynbee's great multi-volume study of history is all about that theme. And he says the fundamental form in which that event happens is in terms of challenge and response. Man's increased capacity to write his own history becomes an ultimate challenge for him. And no one has ever been able to do that. No peoples have ever been able to do that. Out of all the civilizations that have tried, they have all failed. That's the tragedy of man's experience with this threshold. That has not been able to be done. The fairy tale insight is that it is well able to be done. But the key to it, the key that unlocks that impossibility, the key to it is maintaining the individual in their integrity. All past civilizations have lost that fine point, have lost the key, and have not been able to turn the lock, have not been able to have a history consonant with the liberated individual. So the problem, the quintessential problem that we have here, is to understand person-making in such a indelible technical way that we can maintain it even in face of this tremendous threshold of challenge which threatens to overwhelm us. Even as I speak, even this year, 1989, the Soviet people are failing in their attempt to live their history because they have not been able to maintain the integrity of the individual. It is not an economic problem. That's just one of the symptoms. It's a problem in person making. And if you cannot have individuals who can be real to themselves, you don't have any movable parts except the landslide of bad habit from the past. It was good habit from the past at one time, but now it's infused with that transformational energy and it's all negative. And that experience has ground up many civilizations, just like the Soviet Union is now beginning to be ground up. It's inevitable. There's no way to save that. It's like a very peculiar quality, and I mentioned it a couple of times. There are like little test situations that you can see what is truthful. The Soviets have never sent a man to the moon because the Soviets cannot send a man to the moon. It is a psychological barrier. It is a reality barrier. And we can carp here and there about the personalities of the American astronauts, but the fact is that they were free to go. Hokey as they were, and they're kind of sometimes overly Texas jet pilot kind of athleticism, but nevertheless, they were able to go. They were free to go. Because the American experience has been based on the person from the beginning. When we look at our beginnings, there are people makers there. Benjamin Franklin, Jefferson, Thoreau, they're people makers. Everything else, whatever was amplified out, came from that indelible experience. Before we can have anything, we must have a population who are free to choose what kind of amplification they're going to emphasize. The Soviet Union is a mental projection of an idea, tried to be drummed up as an ideal, foisted on people, and has not grown, has not come out of the reality of the people. And consequently, the reality of the people is now rejecting. Even the space station Mirrors has been shut down and abandoned. Even that level, it's like the implosion. One can physically graft it. You not only cannot go to the moon, but now you can't even man your Mir space station. And pretty soon, not even be able to keep order in the city of Moscow. you'll eventually go to that level. Notice here the importance of the individual. Notice here that it isn't just a platitude that the individual is not only important but sacred. It's everything. That if you do not have that, you might as well break the pencil. You can't write anymore. But that poignancy of the individual is directly connected with the experience of the deep self presence. And if one cannot come to that rest, cannot come to that point of no dimension, as Euclid said, there is no beginning for the geometry of meaning. There's no form, there's no structure for experience to flesh out and be real. And so while the person is quintessential, the experience of the deep self, the symbolic self, must be had. So all of our experiences now, the four projects that we have, are all towards evoking that experience of the deep self which we hopefully have had in the symbol section. Evoking that out to come out now and link up with personal expression. And the four projects are, one is through poetry. And in poetry, we're using Basho as our guide. Basho's integrity is unimpeachable. And his poetic form of the haiku is the most refined in the world of doing just this, of disclosing the crackling spontaneity of the personal essence in a moment in life and yet abstracted outside of life eternally. That the two are not incommensurate, they're not oil and water, but they go together and make like a plasma. Instead of oil and water, which doesn't mix, in a plasma you have that introduction of the electromagnetic properties into the liquid, into the matrix. It becomes a part of it. Everything is ionized and becomes a part of it. The structure has changed. A new form of matter has occurred. And that's what consciousness is like that. A new form. It has to be engendered. So we have the haiku, and hopefully all of you have written your haiku, and we're going to make copies on the copy machine this week, and I'll have some for you next Saturday. The second project is to work with a sculptor, to make a little sculpture. But the process is deeper. Not just to make a sculpture, but to make a sculpture and bring it in and exchange it with somebody else, and they reform your sculpture according to whatever they want to do, and they reform yours. And not only that, we're going to do this several times, so that any given sculpture is going to be formed and reformed several times. The importance here is to attenuate our sensitivity towards the transformational energies that are happening here in creativity, so that the form that we have after two or three times, there's no way that that's an image in any level of this universe. The only way that that really occurs there is for memory to be cued in and for the historical process of that phase form transformation to be taken into account. Otherwise, this object is truly surreal, a hodgepodge, and meaningless. And in terms of imagination, it would be meaningless. It would be nonsensical. But in terms of memorative consciousness, this object is extremely valuable and full of meaning, labyrinthian, exponential meaning. And just the shift from nonsense to labyrinthian meaning is the very shift that happens like in fairy tales. One is saved by something miraculous. One is saved by something magical. Fairy tale always has that introduction of the magical element into the scene. As long as it was just natural, it was unbelievably doomed. And because of the magic hat, or the magic wand, or something, something else introduced into it, everything is transformed. So we have the sculpture, and we have the poetry, and we have a painting. Now, not too many of us are up to Matisse. We don't have to be. Just work on a painting, and it's going to be just like basic second grade stuff, show and tell. But show and tell in a population like this, all at once, with 20 conscious adults, turns out to be really an event. And on that day, when we put all our paintings out and just have this gallery here, all those connections will be made that need to be made. For those who have done this before, realize what an event this is. But we need a fourth element in here. Poetry, painting, and sculpture need a fourth element. Now, classically in art, the fourth element would be architecture. It's very difficult to bring that into play. So I evolved a number of years ago a technique of turning the ritual mask assignment inside out. Remember in the ritual mask assignment, we had two masks. We made a mask of some feeling from within that we had. And we made a mask of some foodstuff that we took from without and took within ourselves. So we had two masks, one of something that is from outside that goes in, becomes part of us, and the other something as a part of us that goes out. And we saw that making those two masks set us up for an incredible juxtaposition, that by putting those two masks together in the form of a shared ritual, how can we work both these masks into a single ritual? That ritual became an interface between the inner and the outer, and characteristic not of the outer or the inner, but characteristic of the interface relationship between the two of them, so that the ritual became a vehicle of disclosure on a very subtle level. Now, so-called primitive man has always known this. Primitive man is not very primitive, it turns out. Primordial is much more honorific. Primordial man was good enough to get us out of the trees to here. He's pretty good. Pretty amazing vehicle. Primordial man understood that he can use his ritual capacity to transform his envisioning power. On one level, you would have dreams. You would have dreams from what happened to you without, or dreams from what happened to you within. But once you had the ability to make this interface of those kinds of masks and have that disclosure ritual, you no longer had dreams from without or dreams from within, but you had dreams of the relationship between them, synthesizing dreams. And when man discovered that he could teach himself, even on a community level, a tribal level, to have shared relational dreams, synthesis dreams, that was really something. And a people stays together and are together because they have that shared dream realm based on the ritual activity which they do together. So when one really understands what goes on here, they're not primitive at all. Man has never been stupid. He's never been the primitive that was once envisioned. The Victorian English especially envision the primitive, the mindless primitive. The English use of the French word savage is a misuse, because in the French it has a different kind of a quality. In the French is the quality of the noble savage. The English would go to study the so-called primitive people, the French would go to be with them and discover that there's a whole different tone. You don't go to Polynesia like the English went to Polynesia to get away from civilization, but you go to be with that civilization. So the French experience in Tahiti is all different from the English experience in Tahiti. A whole different thing. The French experience with the American Indians is a whole different thing from the English experience. So there's this kind of equality that we're aiming for when we did those mask assignments in the ritual. But now in the art, the mask that we're making is a mask of a role which we have to play in our life. Which means having to be conscious and think about now, what roles do we have to play in our life? And to be able to express one of those roles, which means you have to differentiate those roles now, and be able to express one of those roles you have to play in your life in terms of a mask. Is a very difficult assignment. It's not easy at all. So that mask will be the last day of this art sequence. The last day. And the bringing of the mask of a role will be the consummation of the whole person-making emphasis here. And if we do it with integrity, we'll be ready to make that threshold challenge, to see if we can penetrate through to a sense of history. Sometime this summer, high summer. So you can see that there's a lot of drama in this education. If you're following it with any intensity, it's very high drama. The involvement is as real as you want to make it. And having done it, there is a sense of accomplishment. I've taught it since the mid-60s in various forms. And every time there's a newness, there's a kind of a thrill, there's a kind of a quality of incredible discovery that it really is so, that it happens this way. So get a copy of Concerning the Spiritual Art, a copy of the Bacchae by Euripides. And if you can find a copy of Rilke's Sonnets to Orpheus, when we make the transition from art to history, we want to have a week in between, and we're going to devote it to Rilke's Sonnets to Orpheus. Any translation of that, Stephen Mitchell's translation is pretty good, but that'll help out. Now we need some sculptures today, and we need to have show and tell on what sculptures we have, and then we need to make some exchanges. So let's start with Robert and his Red Devil. We're going to quickly go through this. Okay.
This is an archetypal form that you want. When I first picked up clay, I used to make this particular thing and make little forms just like this for no reason other than that was the shape that would come out. Part of the transformation is that the skull now has the sutures which illustrate the scarab, which is the handing down of the life within a life. And I just enjoy the devilishness of it.
Now this sculpture is going to go to somebody else. Pick a number between 1 and 12. 12? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Robert. Come here.
I'm just an auditor.
Of course you're an auditor. Come here. I'm giving you a little piece of hell to work with.
I don't have a sculpture.
I know. Take a seat. Now you have one to work with.
Orange Julius.
Orange Julius.
Very good.
All right.
Strawberry Julius.
Next sculpture. Is that? Let's go to Dolores. Yeah. Let's uncrate that thing. Let's uncrate that thing. Here's a table, put it on the stool. That'll work.
I bought some clay and I was going to do a figure, but I looked at a empty styrofoam box that had contained a radio. And before I knew it, I was sculpting this. And it had chop suey sticks that were black, but I didn't bring it. And that's the key to the sculpture. They were closed together. And you have to know how to open them to move the balls around.
I see. With chopsticks.
You have to be skilled.
Mm-hmm. You have those chopsticks? I have a pair of chopsticks, but they're not black.
Oh, well, whomever gets this can do whatever they want with it.
Okay, and so the manipulation of the balls.
Some are loose, some aren't.
All right.
Some are empty spaces, and then the ultimate is, of course, the glowing little one on top.
Okay, good. Jerry, pick a number from 1 to 12.
9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Linda, you go.
No!
Yes!
I just said I can't change somebody else's thing. No!
Okay, whose sculpture is this on the plate, though? Is that Ed's?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to town, Ed. Put it on the stool. Well, that'll be easier. That's a good display.
Last night, about 11 o'clock, I did that for a little over an hour. I don't know what to say.
Tell the truth.
Enjoy doing it. I felt kind of an attachment to it. I don't really want somebody to turn it around. So I look at it today, I think it is sort of a tentative? The theme of the adjective that I was seeing it. Sort of an attentive, wary, seeking, and comparison.
Well, then you should have the right to give it to somebody to work on. You give it to somebody to work on. You won't be the problem.
Yeah.
Who would you want to work on? Pass it on. You figure out some way to pass it on. Your choice. All right. It's yours, Walt. Thank you. There was a sculpture over here on the rail. Whose is that? Better turn that slowly there, Jerry. That is Matisse. Sam
I bought the clay for it last night, and I was was going to do it because I had time at work last night, and I didn't do it. And so I came home this morning, and at 7:30 I did it, and I spent a total of about 15 minutes on it. And when I got done, it wouldn't stand up the way I wanted to, so I took a piece of clothes hanger and stuck it through, and it just kind of made itself. I mean, I had this square, and suddenly I realized I was making kind of what I think of as a man with a chicken head, and I just liked it. I just liked the way it felt, and that's all I have to say.
Max Ernst loved that kind of man, too. He called that, what did he call that bird man? That bird man. Like Lulu or something like that. I'll have to refresh myself. But he saw that constantly over 70 years in his mind's eye. Well, they pick a number between 1 and 10.
18. This is a
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Silver, you can. You have that to work with. Watch the hanger inside. Is it a barb? No.
No, she'll see it.
Okay. Silly, time to show yours.
I wanted to wear this thing.
You now will.
Buy it. So I got our brothers 9:10 and they close at 9. So I was really upset and thinking I have so many images to do with clay. What do I do now? So some you know, I thought, okay, I'll go around the house and see what I could see and what could I do with it. And that is what happened. I saw that little piece of water, and that image came to my mind. And last time I had an image while Roger was talking about a hand coming out from water. So I thought that had to do with what we're doing. And then the hand came out, and I saw the little, you know, the computer nails, the nails. Those nails are related to the hand. So I did put 8 nails, and then I needed another one to complete that figure. And this tile image again, you know, holding the hand and coming out from it.
Uh-huh. You know, in English, there's a choice confusion between the nails of the hand and those nails that you found in. Is it also in Spanish? They're different.
Yes.
Because in English, there's a kind of an interesting play on words.
Yeah,
nails and hands. Yeah. So. That's a part of the sculpture. It's a very interesting.
Different words.
Different words in Spanish.
But anyway, that might be.
I'm glad too. Who would you give it to work on?
In
the county? We have to have a number. Give us a number.
Eight.
1, 2, 3. You better got one. Chris. Okay. It hasn't been to Mexico.
Now, I'd like to know one thing. We have to transform using the same material?
Yeah,
or
using the sculpture.
Or doing
redo the sculpture.
Redoing it.
Redo the sculpture, yeah. You can tell Chris is an old hand at this. It's totally inscrutable until he tells you, and then it'll be absolutely obvious.
Well, I want to talk about my previous experience with this assignment 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
So, found a similar plaster cylinder that had things inside of it that the person who took it to work on it never did anything with it. It never came back. So I couldn't even get it back to do what I would have done with it.
The vicissitudes of education.
So that was the first experience. The second experience was the piece that I took to work on. The original piece, somebody had done a plaster for a piece, but they had so consumed the outside of it that there was no room to work on. And the only thing I could do was hollow out the middle and do something very clever that I did. And then somebody immediately turned it into a machine the next time, and I was appalled that all my work was so to me, the challenge of this assignment is to try to create a form that really can be worked with in any number of ways and leave lots of room for people to work.
Well, see, now, isn't this interesting? Now, this is the first person that's gone through this particular phase of this educational process. Look how consciousness has modified the assignment to comport with the actual reality. You see what a kind of exponential growth in awareness has actually occurred. I don't think we planned it, did we?
No,
okay.
But I did. On the other hand, I did put some things in it that were indelible. The color
inside that.
The color is all through the material.
Oh.
So you can't get rid of it.
So your color is going to stay.
My color is going to stay.
Famous last word.
They'll dip it, I know.
Spray paint.
I can only scrape off their paint and still find my color. But there, again, I won't go into detail because there is something inside. But it really is a difficult thing for me because my artwork to me is very intense now. And for me to make something that I'm not going to be able to finish, it's very hard. And the other thing that's very interesting is I've got 20 different things I could do with this myself. I have no image other than just wanting to explore the material.
Uh-huh.
And I was debating last night whether to do some work on the outside or not. I did just go walking and a little grounding on some parts of it. But I decided to just do it myself.
Is it coincidental that it's the similar size and shape to an oatmeal box?
Yes.
All right. Good.
You'll find out in spades, in double.
In spades. All right. Who would you like to have deform your work?
I have no preference.
No preference? What number do you pick?
Five.
And where do we start counting them? What's the
end?
Well, let's give it to Dolores.
That's good, thank you. I have the challenge already.
Well, you can take a hammer and break.
She's the fifth to the left of you, and I figured that was as good as anything. Okay. Any other sculptures that we have? Here we go. Donna has one. And we'll, all right, and we'll come to Sina. Donna and then Sina. You can hold it up, I guess.
Yeah, I have to hold it up. And I really don't know what this is. It just reminds me of something I did in kindergarten. I mean, I was working with it. I remember doing this kind of thing in kindergarten.
Hopefully we're not regressing.
Hopefully you're entirely regressing if you are.
And what circumstance? Under what circumstances was this actually made? Was this made in a living room, in a kitchen?
In the kitchen this morning.
In the kitchen this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Were you humming while you made it?
No. No. I was just making it.
Do you remember in kindergarten that one made things like this after you woke up from the nap?
Oh.
Remember on those little rugs?
Oh.
You take a nap and then you come in and do. So when you woke up from your nap last night, you remember that you had done this in kindergarten. Very interesting. Yeah. The machines are clicking off. We need to pass it on to someone else. Would you like to choose someone to pass it to?
I'm going to give it to Robert.
Robert, you have it. You have it. Very good. As soon as the machines are healed, then we'll get to see it. Thank you. Excellent.
I'm going to be out of the country.
Now we have several weeks to work on it.